It was accurate, timely, and judicious. It was very carefully constructed. And it's true, Tunisians and Africa do face threats of chaos and corruption. Although I think for chaos and corruption, that's more Africa-wide. But in Tunisia, the main issue is not chaos and corruption, it's autocracy. And it's true that Tunisia was inspirational. And it's true that democracy is now but a dream. It's gone away in Tunisia, particularly given how little popular mobilization there's been against the president's actions. We have a population in Tunisia that's exhausted by COVID. It was one of the hardest hit countries in Africa, exhausted by economic hardship, exhausted by political frustration. And they are sort of waiting for someone to save the day. And many turn to the president, and he's failed so far. The fact that Austin said it, a defense secretary and not the secretary of state or the White House, I think made the statement a little stronger and a little clearer. I think when he said it after the referendum was really important, where he said it in Europe, talking to militaries from around the world. But he was also indirectly talking to the Tunisian military, who supported the presidentialist coup and power grab of July 2021. And he's speaking to militaries at the national level in Tunisia and regional and globally and saying, militaries must support civilians in their quest for self-government. And that doesn't include shutting down parliaments and putting tanks outside. Now, the Tunisian military followed orders and put the tanks outside. They've been there for over a year. And he's basically saying it's time to withdraw the tanks and time to let the Tunisian people decide how they're governed and not a president with a shuttered parliament with tanks outside.
As Tunisian President Kais Saied solidifies his control of Tunisia under a newly passed constitution with no checks and balance, he will be challenged to deliver on promises of jobs, bread, and stability for citizens. What are the prospects of him delivering on his promises?
Quite low. But first, we have to say that the constitutional referendum was illegal and it was boycotted or no voted by 75% of Tunisians. Now, Saied stopped listening to international interlocutors some time ago. And according to my relatively recent meetings in Tunisia at the highest levels, he spends zero time on economics. So if there is any job creation or economic improvement in Tunisia, it won't be the fruit of Saeed's labors. It'll be the fruit of others helping improve the Tunisian economy. So on jobs, he has no plan. He hasn't created any jobs. He has no interest in working on jobs, but the Tunisian private sector has the ability to create jobs if they're allowed to. He has no plan for getting bread, but there are efforts underway to get more wheat and grains from the Ukrainian and Russian markets that were blocked, and the efforts of Erdogan to get that moving. And Tunisia, with like Libya and Egypt, were one of the countries most dependent on grains from the Black Sea area. And in terms of stability, I mean, Saied does spend a fair amount of time looking at threats against himself and threats against the government coming from terrorists. But the problem is, the longer Tunisia stays a dictatorship, the worse that will get, because Tunisians both inside and outside the country will increasingly turn to terrorism to face the government. So if there's any improvement, it will be from the international economy and, you know, making the economic factors outside Tunisia better for Tunisia, and the bread will get in. But I suspect over time, Tunisia will become more unstable, because dictators over time generally have a problem with instability, and that will probably get worse.